We're joined now by Harvey Wasserman, noted environmentalist, journalist, author, professor. He hosts California Solartopia on Pacifica Radio in California, and he is a man of letters. He's written voluminously about the environment, and he is with us to talk about what's going on in his world. By the way, since 2004, he's also taught history and cultural and ethnic diversity at two Central Ohio colleges, and a man who's been at the liberal vanguard of American politics, Harvey Wasserman, professor. Good morning to you.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
Let's start with the environment. In these debates we're having of these Democratic candidates, there isn't a whole lot being said about climate change. They're arguing about really structural matters within the Democratic Party, it would seem, but there is this huge disaster in the making, according to some. Is it being addressed properly?
No. Last night, Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, did talk a bit about climate change, but we have a serious catastrophic challenge in terms of the heating up of the planet. And it's, you know, the message is very clear. We have to go to 100% renewable energy, and we have to do that for the economy as well. I mean, wind and solar are cheaper now. It's been actually one of the most astounding technological revolutions in all of human history, that wind and solar have proceeded as fast as they have. You know, it's something that we have to do, and we have to do it quickly. It's not good news, I suppose, for much of the oil and gas industry in Louisiana in the short term, but in the long term, it's a much, much better thing. We've seen tremendous job creation with wind and solar, and tremendous advances in efficiency that make it so much cheaper. Actually, the energy future of the world is going to be based on four technologies: solar panels, wind turbines, battery technology, which gets us through the intermittency of wind and solar, you know, when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, and then increased efficiency with LED lighting, especially. LED has been an astonishing revolution in lighting. So those four technologies will take over, and they are tremendously job creating, and that's really what we have to do about the global warming crisis.
Well, through the years, you have associated with the likes of Benjamin Spock and Studs Terkel, Kurt Vonnegut, all of whom had ideas comparable to yours on many issues. What would they think if they were still with us in this age of Trump? How would they view this?
I can't begin to tell you what those three guys would have said about Donald Trump, so I'm sure this is a family show. But the progress of this transition has been remarkably consistent. I was living on an organic farm in the 1970s in Massachusetts, and the local utility came in and said they wanted to build a nuclear plant, and we stopped them, and we said that we were asked, well, what's your alternative to nuclear? And we said, well, wind and solar. And they were really in the embryonic stage there and couldn't have done the job at the time. But their progress over the past four decades has been, or five actually, has been astounding. And so it's been pretty consistent. And one of the things we also have to do to deal with the climate crisis is to very simply plant trees. And in the 1930s, when the Dust Bowl was happening and these giant clouds of these desert storms were sweeping across Oklahoma and Texas and the Great Plains, Franklin Roosevelt used the Civilian Conservation Corps to plant 32 million trees. He was once asked what he did, and he said he was a tree farmer. And we have to plant far more trees now, and also with the legalization of hemp, not marijuana, but hemp, the crop that makes paper and clothing and so much else. Hemp is very easy to grow, and is very prolific. And if we plant, actually during World War II, virtually the entire state of Kansas was planted in hemp, and it's something we have to do again.
Now, a listener, not surprisingly, has gone in another direction. I'm sure it's something you have an opinion about. After all, you do teach history and cultural and ethnic diversity at two colleges. And this is about the revelation in the last few days that Ronald Wilson Reagan, the 40th United States president, made virulently racist comments to the 37th American president, Richard Milhouse Nixon. What do you make of this?
That's a shame. You know, it's really a shame. I actually met Ronald Reagan. I met him in the New Hampshire primaries in 1980, and the minute I met him, I knew he was going to be president. I mean, he had a tremendous aura about him. But, you know, race has been used to divide our country since the 1670s. It's interesting. In the 1600s, blacks and whites lived together, especially in the South, without much conflict. It was racism was not inherent in the human makeup, but it was used by the slave owners to divide blacks and whites. They didn't want blacks and whites joining together politically. Richard Nixon used race for his Southern strategy in the 60s and 70s, and you know, it's a terrible burden on our country. Some call it our slavery was our original sin, and that leading into racism. You know, it's like an intelligence test. I mean, how significant could skin color be between people? It just doesn't matter. And the people would take it so seriously is very sad.
Well, for those who are unfamiliar, here is the brief tape from the Nixon Library of Presidents Reagan and Nixon, and this was in 1971 when Reagan was governor of California, talking to then President Richard Nixon.
Last night, I tell you, to watch that thing on television as I did.
Yeah.
To see those monkeys from those African countries. Damn them, they're still uncomfortable wearing shoes.
Well, and then the tail wags the dog there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The tail wags the dog.
That's.
Well, it's a shame. Mm. It's a shame. Mm. And Nixon was an awful president. He prolonged the war in Vietnam. He sabotaged peace talks with Vietnam, you know, in 1968 to win the election. Terrible. And we just have to get past this now. We have to stop letting small things like skin color and sexual preference and gender, religion, these things are not worthy of a species that needs to survive on this planet. I mean, we've got so many hungry people, so many problems to deal with. That should be the least.
Harvey Wasserman, it's been a pleasure. Let's do it again. I've certainly enjoyed our conversation. Appreciate
Call it. Call me anytime. I'm honored to be on your show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.